started this chapter a couple of weeks ago, and the tape messed up. And I've said for years, I've been in tape ministry for 25 years, and I still believe the devil can get in a tape recorder. I can come up here and check these tapes out and check out these mics, and they'll work fine. And sometimes I get up here, and I just for no reason at all, the last Sunday, that thing just stuck. It's just like a, and all you got was a buzz in it, you know? So maybe it'll just doing fine now. Maybe it'll work tonight. All right, Romans chapter 6. Now, Romans chapter 6 deals with the death of a Christian in relation to sin. And the Bible starts off, and so what shall we say? Well, shall we continue in sin? Now, we found out in chapter 5 that where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Now, you know, you got a bunch of people today, you know, and they criticize the Baptists because the Baptists believe once you're saved, you're always saved. That's not Baptist doctrine, that's Bible doctrine. Amen. Amen. So this bunch, you know, they say, well, in other words, you Baptists say you're saved, you want to save, always saved. So if you saved, you know you're always saved. You can go out here and live any way you want to, you're okay. I just going to show how ignorant they are of the Bible. No saved Bible believer ever believed such a thing, never even attempt to believe such a thing. And Paul said, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? No saved person has an attitude to continue in sin. That's for unsaved church people.
Right.
See? Now, we dealt with this verse, and then Paul goes on to show how that when you were baptized under Christ's death. And I told you that after chapter 5, when Paul gave a dissertation on death, and he goes back to Adam, that we identify with Adam's sin through death. Nobody can get around that. We identify with Christ in life. And so, that's the difference. In all men, we all identify with Adam's sin through death, that is physical death, but we identify with Jesus Christ through life, and that is being saved. And you can't identify with his life unless you identify with his death to sin. He died for sins. And the Bible said in Romans 6 that we are dead to sin. And we'll get on over into chapter 7. Chapter 7 is going to continue that and shows how a Christian is dead to the law. You see that? Now, notice there in several verses here, in Romans 6, 7, he says, for he that is dead is free from sin. In verse 8, he says, now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. So see, salvation, what it amounts to, it's one man dying and letting another man live. Because before you got saved, you was a live body with a dead spirit. And after you're saved, you have a live spirit and a dead body.
Amen.
And that's what this is talking about here. Now, I mentioned this already. I'm just kind of reviewing right now. I'm not got in the text we're going to pick up tonight yet. Then he said in verse 9, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more. Now, let me stop in just a minute. If Christ died for our sins, and he rose from the dead, and we identify with him in his resurrected life, because we identify in his death on the cross, how in the name of common sense could anybody read the Bible and believe the Bible and think they've got a salvation they're going to lose? Now, if Christ could die, we could lose salvation. Christ is life, is the life of God. Salvation is life. Look at verse 10. For in that he dieth unto sin once. You see that? Christ died one time for sin.
Amen.
So if Christ died for our sins, and if you identify with his life in his death, If you could get saved and lose that salvation, you have no other way to be saved. You're just going to hell.
Right.
You see? Because he only died one time for your sins. And if that didn't save you forever, you can't be saved.
Amen.
Now see, that's real simple. All right, let's pick it up in verse 11. And then Paul said this in view of what he just said in the verse, in the first 10 verses there. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ. In other words, it's like saying reckon, or it's count it up. You see? Reckon it to be so. Now, you know what the biggest problem is with people tonight? You know what the biggest problem is even with saved people tonight? Huh? I'm going to tell you. Saved people I'm talking about. You know the biggest problem? You have trouble believing that. You pick that Bible up and you'll say, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. You say, but I don't see everything wrong, that preacher says. I think he goes overboard on some of his things. All he ever talks about is blah, blah, blah. You know? You know why? You don't believe that. See? Now, I know you sit there and, you know, maybe not you, but a lot of, you know, independent Baptist church people fill the pew and say, oh, preacher, I believe that Bible. Yeah, you do. Until it comes to something that really affects you, and you have real trouble believing it. You see that?
Amen.
Now look at it like this. Some of it's hard to believe, I'll be honest. But look at it like this. If I have before me the Word of God, this truth, if God's good for any part of it, He's good for all of it.
Amen.
Amen? I mean, the same God that said, come, inherit the kingdom prepared for you, is the same one that said, depart from me, you cursed everlasting fire.
Amen.
If he means one, he means the other.
That's right.
Amen. Now, if he says this, if he says, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ. Now that last part thing, that's pretty clear. I can handle that pretty good. I reckon I'm alive tonight through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
When you take that thing, reckon yourself to be dead indeed under sin. And boy, that affects what we are, don't it?
Amen.
That affects what we want to do.
Right.
You see that? And that's where you have trouble. You know why? Because you hadn't done what it says.
Right.
One fellow one time, he said this. He says, a saved person can sin, but he can't sin and feel good about it.
Amen.
The unsaved people can. Unsaved people tonight can go out here in the world, they can drink and cuss and raise hell, if you want to call it that, and laugh about it. And you live in the same body of flesh they live in. You have the same nature they have. But you can't do it because it's something in you that don't want it.
Amen.
See? You know what that is? That's the life of God that God put in you when He saved you, see?
Amen.
You see, an unsaved man don't know nothing but sin because he's in a body of sin that has no knowledge of nothing else.
Right.
And that's why I say, so many times that probably the greatest majority of professing church people tonight have never been saved.
That's right.
All right, let's look at verse 12. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal bodies. Reign, rule, be king. When something reigns, it's a king. Amen? And sin here is personified as a king. And the Bible said, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies. Your body of death. See? So you live tonight, if you're saved, you are a soul that's alive unto God in a dead body of sin.
Amen.
You see that? And if you let sin rule and run that body, it'll overpower your Christian life.
Amen.
Now listen, how do you keep it from doing it? Well, let's read all the verse. Like I said this morning, a lot of people read the Bible without knowing what it means. Amen? There's more to the Bible than just reading the words and being able to pronounce them. A lot of them I can't pronounce. When I can't pronounce it, that don't bother me. What bothers me when I can't figure out what it means?
Amen?
It said, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Now there's how it rules. You see it? If you don't obey it, it can't rule. But if you do obey it, it will rule. You see that?
Amen.
Verse 13. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Now your members, and that's anything that's contributed to your body, every person has seven members of your body. There's seven members. Now, I said something this morning I want to remind you of tonight. Remember I told you this morning that before, according to the Bible, before anybody can do anything that's right, and what God says, there's something that God says not to do first. You see it? The first step in being right is negative. It's not positive. And the command here is, neither yield your members as instruments as to unrighteousness. It's negative. The first thing you got to do is say no. You got to not obey. You got to go against. You see that? Now, if you don't do the first part of that verse, you cannot do the last part.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen.
Now, it says there in verse 11, it says, reckon yourselves also to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. All right, the first thing you got to know is that you're living in a man that's dead, and you're alive unto God. And you can't yield to that old dead man. You've got to yield to God. You see that?
Right.
Now, you know what yield means, don't you?
Amen.
It means let somebody have their way. Let somebody, when you come up to a sign that says yield, it means you let them go first. Don't you try to get in there and get ahead, and you let them go. You yield your right to them. All right? So what you got to do, now you know how to do it. I mean, back there before you got saved, you yielded your eyes to filthy pornography. You yielded your tongue to dirty language. You yielded your ears to filthy jokes. You yielded your feet to take you to ungodly places.
Amen.
You yielded your hands to do ungodly things.
Right.
Now you just take the same ears and yield them to the things of God, the same eyes and yield them to the things of God, the same feet and yield them to the things of God, the same hands and yield them to the things of God. That's what it's talking about.
Right.
So you know how to do it. Verse 14. Listen to this now. For sin, shall not have dominion over you. Now notice something about this. Folks, listen to me real close. It don't say sin is not there.
Amen.
Some of these new Bibles, you got to watch them. They'll say the flesh is the old nature. It ain't. I mean, it ain't. You in a body of flesh. But that old nature tries to activate that flesh. It ain't the same thing. It says, for sin shall not have dominion over you. And here's the reason. For you're not under the law, but under grace. Now we'll get to chapter 7. You're going to understand this a little bit better. But you see, that body of flesh is under the law. You see that? That means you wasn't saved by nothing you done. You were saved by grace.
Amen.
You see that? The grace of God saved you. And when the grace of God saved you, you're not under the law, because that old man that was under the law is dead. Are you with me here?
Amen.
And the Bible says sin shall not have dominion over you. Now let me explain the difference in a saved person's sins and an unsaved person's sins. You know, you may be saved, but you have the capability to sin right on. Amen. Now what's the difference? Here's a person is saved and here's a person unsaved. And let's say they both commit the same sin. What's the difference? I'm going to tell you. Sin for a saved person is much worse. Now the effects are not the same. I'll tell you why. An unsaved person may go out here tomorrow, the next day, all next week, and sin continually, and nothing will happen. You know why? Because they're going to hell and burn for their sins.
Amen.
If you're saved, you go out here and commit the same sin, you are not going to hell, even though you sin. But you see, your sin had been imputed to somebody else. But the danger of that is, you see, you're going to have to pay.
Amen.
Now, let me look at the next verse. Verse 16. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourself servants to obey, his servants you are? Now, you see, there's that yielding again. And it's yielding to two different masters. Now follow me close here. Don't miss none of it. I'm trying to get all this together tonight for you, because if you never understand this, folks, it'll help you understand a lot of things about saved and unsaved people.
Amen.
There's two masters you can yield yourself to tonight. You can yield yourself to sin, which is a master, or you can yield yourself to righteousness, which is a master. See? Now if you're saved and you yield yourself to sin, you know what's going to happen to you? And you keep on doing it, you're going to give the undertaker some business.
Amen.
Now, wait a minute. Look at Romans 8 and verse 13. Romans 8:13. For if you live after the flesh, you shall what?
Die.
But if through the Spirit you do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Now let me tell you something. I know people, you know, we got a lot of Baptist people that think, well, you know, he's saved, he just backslid. Amen. That's the general accepted thing. That's the general excuse that the Baptists make for their sin. They go out and get drunk. They whoremongers commit fornication, all these things. They divorce and remarry, and they all say, well, he just backslid.
Uh-huh.
I don't find that to be true in the New Testament. I think the trouble is there's a lot of them need to get saved.
Amen.
Amen. Let me tell you something, folks. If you can go out here and be saved and continue to sin openly, I just don't believe you're saved if nothing happens to you.
Amen.
I believe that the sin of saved people has dug many a premature grave.
Amen.
And the reason I believe that, because I read it to you in the Bible.
Right.
Now let me show you something. The Bible says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law." Amen.
Amen.
An unsaved man, his flesh is under the law. You see that?
Amen.
You're not under that law. That old man has died. That's what it says. Now, if you sin in the flesh after you're saved, how many know what Galatians 6 and 7 says? How many know what Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 says? "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And if you sow to the flesh, what are you going to reap? Corruption." You can't get around it. You see that?
Amen.
"He that soweth to his flesh shall of his flesh reap corruption." There's no way around it. That's an automatic law.
Amen.
All right? So Paul said this in verse 15. Romans 6, 15. "What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid." You see? Like I told you before, nobody that's saved and believes the Bible believes just because you're saved under grace, that's a license to sin. Even though a lot of people think we believe that. And they think we believe that, and I think they're ignorant. You know? The Bible said, "God forbid." All right, look at verse 16. "Know ye not?" All right, you know this? That's what it said, don't it? "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are." Jesus said in John, he said, a man that commits sin is a servant of sin. All right? "Yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are. To whom you obey, whether of sin unto death." It's talking about saved people now. Listen, folks. An unsaved person doesn't commit a sin unto death. He faces death for his sin.
Amen.
You see? Christians can't commit a sin unto death. You know? You know there's a verse in 1 John that says talks about a sin unto death. And I've heard all kind of preachers get up and try to tell what is a sin unto death. And boy, you've heard all kind of things. Some say, you know, blaspheme the Holy Ghost. And some say this, that. But it tells you right there what a sin unto death is, doesn't it?
Amen.
It's yielding yourselves servants to sin. That's a sin unto death.
Amen.
Isn't that clear? See? All right, it says this. "Yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are, to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death, our obedience unto righteousness." You see it? So it's kind of like this. Who you obey depends on how you're going to come out as far as a Christian. Alright? And look at verse 17. Here's a good one. "But God be thanked that you were," notice that tense there, "that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you." You see that? Now you notice you obeyed that form of doctrine. Notice now, salvation is not a mental assent. It's not repenting like Judas. It's not believing like Pharaoh. It's not confessing like Simon the sorcerer. It's not being baptized. Salvation is obeying from the heart.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Now, I'll tell you how a water dog handles that. You know, water dog, Church of Christ, one of the biggest cults in this country. They'll say this. They say that you got to repent, confess, and be baptized according to Acts 2:38. You listen? Repent and confess, and baptism has nothing to do with the heart. You can repent and confess and get baptized, and you'll go to hell every time with that crowd that taught you that.
Right.
Salvation is an obedient heart. And notice, it's obeying a form of doctrine. And that form of doctrine is the gospel. And we mentioned all this already. You see? It has nothing to do with the mental assent. It has nothing to do with your confession or your baptism or nothing else you do. Salvation is a heart condition. You see that? Now, that's why that same crowd thinks you'd lose it. See? Huh?
Amen.
Let me ask you something. Is anybody that can read got so little sense that they think water puts them in Christ? Well, that's what they're saying. Huh? You know something? I use this illustration a lot of times. If you were to go down to New York or up to New York, the Empire State Building there, and they say that thing's, what, 105 stories. I think that's what it is. If you were to stand at the bottom floor by the elevator, and somebody said, that elevator go to the top floor in 10 minutes. You say, I believe that. And somebody said, that elevator will carry 25 people at one time. You say, I believe that. Somebody said, that elevator will go so many miles an hour. You say, I believe that. You can believe anything you want about the elevator. But you ain't going up unless you get in.
Right.
Amen? Now, you believe anything you want to about salvation, but you ain't going to be saved till you get in Christ.
Amen.
And you ain't going to get in Christ till you believe from the heart.
Amen.
You see it?
Right.
War ain't going to put you in Christ.
Amen.
And that's what Paul's trying to bring out here, see? All right, verse 18. Being then made free from sin. The Christian is free from sin. Alright? You became servants of righteousness. Notice also you might apply that back to verse 7. For he that is dead is free from sin. You see? Now notice, the Christian is free from sin. Now you see what I'm trying to show you here? You see what the Bible is saying? That salvation affects your attitude. And salvation affects your belief about sin. You see so much of this stuff today, you know. You see so much church people and so much all this pious stuff. And yet people still have a positive attitude about sin.
Right.
You can't be that way. I don't believe it. The Bible says, being made free from sin. When were you free from sin? When you obeyed that form of doctrine from the heart.
Amen.
And when you did that, you was free from sin and you became servants of righteousness. You sure weren't servants of righteousness until you came free from sin.
Amen.
You can't serve a master of sin and a master of righteousness at the same time.
Amen.
Jesus said no man can serve two masters.
That's right.
Now a lot of people try it.
Amen.
They try to have a good master on Sunday. And the other one the rest of the week.
Right.
But they're a bunch of phonies.
Amen.
They're a bunch of fakers.
Right.
They ought to go to Hollywood. All right, verse 19. And listen to this. I speak after the manner of men. Now here's Paul's going to give a common practice or an everyday illustration. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. Now listen to this. For as you have yielded your members servants to uncleanness, You know how you done that. Alright. And to iniquity unto iniquity. Worse and worse. Even so now. What was he talking about now? Since you obeyed, right? Since you're free from sin. Even so now, yield your members, servants, to righteousness unto holiness. You see that? Why would a person say, I'm saved? I've obeyed from the heart. I believe right. And want to go out here and involve his life in the sin he lived the way he lived before he got saved. Now you tell me how that works. I'll tell you how it works. You got somebody playing church. That's how it works. He said, you're talking pretty straight tonight. You're making a lot of, drawing a lot of judgments. Yeah, I am, because I'm going by the Bible.
Amen.
You see? That's what it says. Now look at verse 20. For when you were the servants of sin... That's before you got saved. Before you got saved, you was a servant of sin. Sin was your master. Alright? You are free from righteousness. You see that? That's why a lot of these church people don't like to get around the Bible. You see? They can't handle the master of righteousness because their master is sin. Now we discussed this several times, but a thought just come to me. We talk about the righteousness of God. What does the Bible say the righteousness of God is? Why, it's Jesus Christ, isn't it?
Amen.
The Bible says, "For when you were the servants of sin, you were free." From righteousness. And that's why people, they don't want Jesus Christ to rule their life. They don't want him to be their master.
Amen.
See? You know why? Because sin is their master.
Right.
All right? Now look at verse 21. What fruit had you then in those things? Now listen to this real close. Whereof you are now ashamed. For the end of those things is death. Now he's talking about the fruit of a person. Let me ask you a question. I'll explain that verse by this question. Since you've been saved, have you done some things that you did before you got saved? Sure you have. And wasn't you ashamed of it? Well, before you got saved, you wasn't ashamed one bit.
Amen.
That's what the verse says. Amen. I mean, before you got saved, you'd go out here and do all kinds of things. You wasn't no more ashamed of it. No, you brag about it. You tell everybody about it.
Amen.
Laugh about it. You go out here now and do the same thing. You know what'll happen to you? You'll be ashamed of yourself.
Amen.
You know why? You got a different master.
Right.
See that? What fruit had you then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. You see, those things that you did before you got saved, the fruit of all that was death. See? That was when sin was your master. And now righteousness is your master, and the fruit of that is righteousness unto holiness.
Amen.
You see? You see, when righteousness is your master, your life reveals some holiness.
Amen.
But when sin is your master, you see, everything you do is just leading to death. Verse 22. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruits unto holiness, and the end, what?
Everlasting life.
Everlasting life. You can't beat it, can you?
Amen.
The end, everlasting life. Now, Your life brings holiness, and at the end of that life, you have everlasting life. And then a great verse, a verse you ought to be able to quote, a verse you ought to know. For the wages of sin, that's one of the greatest truths in the Bible. The wages of sin, you know what wages are? That's what you earn.
Right.
You worked for it. You got it coming. It's yours. Amen. It's yours by a fair deal. Amen. Now let me say something to you. Folks, the wages of sin has never changed.
Amen.
And it never will. The reason that you are going to die is because you live in a body of sin. I've said this 1,000 times, and you know, they make death certificates. And they could put on every death certificate, cause of death, they could put one word, sin.
Amen.
They put cardiac arrest, and they put all these big medical terms, but I could simplify it real easy. Just put sin. Amen. Alright, for the wages of sin is death. You see? But then notice something else about that thing. But the gift of God, that's not wages. No man earns the gift of God. Nobody has ever earned the gift of God. It's free. You see that? If you had to earn the gift of God, you know what? You know how you'd earn it? You have to earn it by that old man that died. And you can't do it. That's why I say these people is working to be saved. You know what they're really doing? They're just getting the fire hot. Everybody that's trying to do something to get saved is not doing a thing in the world but getting the fire hot. And I always tell them, when somebody says I'm working on it, I say, for gracious sakes, quit. Anybody that's working to be saved, you tell them this. You tell them quit. You better off to go to hell not never doing nothing than trying to do something to get saved.
Amen.
Hell would be a lot better. I'd rather go to hell the sorest, low-down drunk in the world and go to hell a lost church member.
Amen.
And I mean that. I'd rather go to hell like Hitler than go to hell like the Pope.
Amen.
The wages of sin will always be the same. Sin is a master that ruins. Righteousness is a master, and they both bear fruit. It said so. The fruit of sin is death. The fruit of righteousness is holiness. Now people can say what they want, you see. But it's your choice whichever one you want. You have a choice tonight to let the one you want run you and rule you. It's your choice. And God offers the free gift of salvation. Now listen to this. The wages of sin is death, but God offers the free gift of eternal life to anybody with no motive in it but love.
Amen.
Now you tell me where you can beat that. And you can't. You'll never get around chapter 6, verse 23, folks. The gift, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God in Romans chapter 5, it says it's a free gift, doesn't it? We studied that already. And notice what it is. The wages of sin is death. It's physical death now, and it's eternal death later. A man that turns down Jesus Christ, he dies a physical death, and later he dies an eternal death when his soul is cast into the lake of fire, called the second death in Revelation 20:15. Then there's eternal life. There's physical life now. And there's eternal life after this life is over to those that are trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior.
Amen.
And here's what it all amounts to. It's very simple. It's your choice. Amen?
Amen.
Man and say, well, I didn't have a chance. Yeah, you did. You'll go to hell by choice. Amen? Not chance. I was talking to a lady one time, and I was telling her about how she could be saved, and she said, I think I'm good as you are. I said, you may be better. I wouldn't debate that, would you? But I don't save you. She said, I'll take my chances. I said, you're not taking no chance. It's a sure thing. You're just as good as in the hell in the door shed right now if you're not saved.
Amen.
You ain't taking no chance. You ain't taking no chance. So I said, well, I'll take a chance on my religion. I'll take my chance. You ain't taking no chance. It's a sure thing.
Amen. That's right.
I mean, an unsaved person not taking a chance on going to hell no more, I'm taking a chance on whether I get to heaven or not.
Amen.
I'm as good as that.
Amen.
I ain't going by chance. I'm going by my choice.
Amen.
To take what God offered me free.
Amen.
You can turn it down. You can turn God down. And you wind up in hell.
Right.
Or you can choose to take God's free gift. And God will give it to you. It's your choice. And there's no way around it. All right. I got about that much left. So I'm going to start chapter 7. Now, chapter 7 is something else. And chapter 7 shows how the Christian is related to the law. All right? Now, let me say something here. We've been studying about grace in chapter 6. Now we're going to study about law. Now let me tell you the difference in law and grace. And listen to me real close. Law means something that you do. Grace is something that God does. All right? And we're saved by grace. That means God saved us. In chapter 7, it talks about when God saves us, how then does that relate us to the law? Now you see, before you got saved, you was under the law. Amen?
Amen.
And you know what the law is? The law is administration of death. The law is condemnation. Every unsaved person was under that law before you got saved. Now chapter 7 is going to show us how that when God saved us, how we become free of that law that once condemned us.
Right.
Now the law is still around, folks. The law has not gone nowhere.
Amen.
Amen. Now he starts off in the first four verses and he illustrates it like a woman is married. And I'll show you what it means when we get through it. Know ye not, brethren, for I speak to them that know the law. Notice now this had to do with the law. How that the law hath dominion over a man as long as he liveth. All right, now what means is simply this. As long as you was unsaved, you was alive under that old man, you was run and controlled by the law. And the law is a law of sin. You see that? Every unsaved person is under the law. That is a body of sin, and they are run by that law. That's why unsaved church people can't handle the Bible. That's why they can't handle the spiritual things. That's why they don't understand the Bible.
Amen.
You see? And listen to verse 2. Now he illustrates it like a woman is married, like a married woman. For the woman which hath a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he liveth. But if the husband be dead, she is what? Loose. Right?
Amen.
Loose from the law of her husband. Alright? If he's dead, she's loose. Now remember that. Alright? She's not loose no other way. You see it? Alright, verse 3. So then, if while her husband liveth, she be married to another man, she shall be called an adulteress.